Good evening. This is the PNB Elections Committee meeting of June 18th, 2006. And I believe we are ready to begin. Madam Secretary, would you call the roll?
Yeah. Mary Berg.
Here.
Carolyn Burton.
Here.
Jane Gatewood.
Bless you.
That's George. Next to Terry Goodman. Patty Heffley. Melinda Eiley Doan.
Here.
Richard Phelps.
Oh, Serena. I'm sorry. Richard asked to be excused. He has a family event. It's Father's
Day. Serene Roberts. Deb Shafto.
Here.
Yeah. Serena Shakir. Harrison Weil.
Here.
Ted Weisskopf. Ted was here, right? I just heard him. Okay, Don White.
Here.
LaVarne Williams.
Here.
Carol Wolf.
What
happened to Ted? Well, he was here, so.
I said here.
Oh, okay.
Oh,
I'm sorry. I couldn't hear you. Thank you.
Thank you, Ted. All right. I guess we have a quorum and we're ready to go. The meeting then will come to order. It is 8:15. And the first item on the agenda is the approval of the agenda. Did everyone get the draft agenda sent around earlier today?
I did not. I'm sorry. I'm not hooked up yet.
Oh, all right.
But I could, you know, just go ahead. Ignore that.
All right.
I approve the agenda.
The first item on it was the approval of minutes, which we also just got recently for May 21st. I don't know if everyone has that.
Well, if Carolyn... Excuse me, Madam Chair, I wanted to add something to the agenda.
Yes, please.
I wanted to add, we've got the work group on gift memberships, and I wanted to add the work group on unaffiliated donors, which was, it comes at the same time, and I think we should be dealing with that.
All right.
It's in the minutes that I sent out, but not everybody gets it, so... It was,
Should we add that under reports after the work group on gift memberships?
Well, no, I think we should just add it right under work group on gift memberships.
Right, after work group on gift memberships, that's fine.
I mean, just following that.
Mm-hmm, right.
So.
All right, so that would be the third report, the National Election Supervisors first, gift membership second, affiliated donors is third, and fourth is... Terry Goodman, Public Elections Committee E-List. He is not on the call yet. The fifth is a report from directors on the status of the Elections Committee motions before the PNB. There were three motions still out there, so I was hoping somebody could give a report. Sixth was a report on the teleconference work group. And or a motion on that. And then this is for our listeners' benefit. Then the next item was unfinished business, and that was a motion to correct a mistake in the report, in the June report to the PNB. Hello, did someone just come on?
Did someone just come on the call? Could you please say if you just did? Okay.
And there was a replacement motion in that. And under new business, there was discussion of priorities for this committee, and then an adjournment. And several addenda were added to the agenda just for information's sake. Are there any more changes to the agenda?
Madam Chair, I don't think... Under Addendum 1, we need the motion, that Ted Weisskopf's motion that didn't pass. I think we could strike that and just put the motion that did pass.
Which number is that, please?
It would be under New Business and then Adjourn. It's the first item after Adjournment, Addendum Number 1.
Transparency of Meetings motion?
Yeah, I think we don't need to include the first thing. I move that all that was Ted Weisskopf's language, which didn't pass. And the only thing I think we need, just so it won't be confusing, is the thing that Terry and I, put forth. So I think it would be less confusing if we took the one that didn't pass out, because we don't normally do that.
I think I just put it down there for reference so that people would know what they were changing. You want to strike that from the minutes? Just
yeah, his is totally different. So from the agenda, I'd like to strike it. It's in the minutes.
Mm-hmm. All right.
It's just I thought it was confusing when I saw it.
So. I see. Are there any objections to striking the first addendum from the agenda?
Just that one sentence. So that the only motion that's there is the one that passed. That the language is that I move that all national committee meetings be posted. That was a motion that did not pass. Terry made a substitute motion with
that's
the
again.
Language. Oh, good. That did pass. So it's where it says 8:30 p.m.
Oh, I see. So that first, those first two lines under transparency,
yeah,
if you want to strike
about.
That.
Yeah, that's not
all
part
right.
of it.
Are there any objections to striking that? That probably shouldn't have been in there. You're absolutely right.
No.
All right, so we'll strike those first two lines.
Okay.
And the addendum number 2 and 3 were just for reference for people so they wouldn't
yeah.
have to fish around on the
right.
Internet during the middle of a call.
Right.
Are there any other suggestions for change, additions? Hearing none, then, shall we consider the agenda approved without objection?
Mm-hmm.
All right. We'll consider that approved as amended. And continue, and then our next item, then, is the approval of the minutes of May 21st, which were sent out earlier today. Are there any corrections to that or changes?
Well, did everyone see them?
Did everyone get a chance to see that? Came out late.
Madam Chair, can I make an explanation of what was sent out today and what you had sent out earlier? All
I didn't
the actions,
send out...
You had sent out all the actions.
Not
earlier.
To everyone.
Oh, I thought you had. Because it's the same number of actions. It's just that...
Mm-hmm.
I had to reconstruct the rest of it, like who's present and so forth.
Right, so it was Mary Berg's draft minutes that were sent out earlier today by Mary, not by me, that we should be considering. Are there any objections to approving that as it stands, or do people need more time? All right, hearing none, then should we consider the minutes of May 21st approved? Thank you very much. And the next item is the approval of the next meeting date, which is the third Sunday of July, which turns out to be the 16th. Are there any problems with that, or people going to be here?
I think I have a problem with it. I think something got moved to it, but maybe I'll just have to deal with it somehow. Because I can't find out what it is right now.
Oh, all right.
It's the national one. Let me just check the national calendar.
Well, if no one else has any problems with that, then maybe we should let it stand.
Well, let's... I just want to make sure there isn't some PNB thing that... I'm just trying to make...
Have they ever set anything up on a Sunday? I thought we were the only ones foolish enough to do that.
Well, no. Okay, I don't see anything there, so okay.
All right, should we leave it then as the next meeting,
okay.
July 16th?
Fine.
Without objection, thank you. Oh, someone's listening, thank you.
Yeah,
I'm only going to object when I really object.
It's just nice to hear a voice. Thank you.
Yeah, it is.
All right. I think the first report is Les Radke's, and I think I didn't set suggested times on this because I wasn't sure how much time we might need, but I hope Les has time to take questions afterwards, and we have time to listen.
I have as much time as you want.
Wonderful. Thanks. Why don't you go ahead then, Les?
Sure. I'll be short. I have four items, and then people can bring up what they want. And the four items that I want to bring up have to do with the web pages, the question of the mailing house graphics and counting of ballots, the group that does that, question of getting local election supervisors in place and the question of local election committees. So those are the four things that I either want to report on or get feedback on. Actually, I want to get feedback on all of this. I would like people, if you could, to look at www.kpfa.org because on that webpage, we've put up the election notice. I want to make sure that these are in place on all the websites by the end of next week, and I'm arranging a meeting of the webmasters at the different stations. But it would be helpful to get people to look at that website and get feedback on it, give suggestions for how to make it more exciting, because this is basically explaining what the timeline is, and it's a call for candidates with a description of the duties of the local station board. So that's what I've started putting out. And I've sent an email to Pete to pop that on the Pacifica.org website as well. I really want to coordinate this because I noticed that last time websites were coming on at wildly different times with different, with a different emphasis. And it seems to me that this is really a very big part of our, to reach out to new folks, bring in candidates, et cetera. I'm also going to have a subsection on there dealing with an explanation of the voting method, STV, so that those people who are interested can get a refresher course from that. So that's one thing. It's just on the webpage. Let me just go through this briefly because it will be brief, and then we can go over this or other things that people want. On the dealing with a company that'll handle the mailings, et cetera, I'm more and more tending to the group that did the mailings for the first two elections at KPFA. It's called KP Graphics. It's a worker-owned collective that originally came up with the idea of the barcodes and how to put those together. But they came up with a price for all the mailing, including first-class mailing, developing the graphics, developing the ballots, stuffing the envelopes, having a couple different envelopes in there, and the whole cost. I'm not sure whether I sent that to the list or not, but I can.
I don't think
the entire cost for this was $95,000, which means that even with first-class mailing, we can keep this substantially below a couple $100,000. I'm not just worried about the money. I'm worried about the quality, but this place has shown that it can actually do this, understands the mailing system, and it turns out that all the members are also members of KPFA and Pacifica. So there's it's not just a business job. It's also, sort of an emotional connection there. So that's my tendency right now. The last part of counting ballots, what I want to do is to actually buy the machines that were used last time. They're a couple $1,000 a piece, and all we have to do is make sure that the software works that was used last time. I'm trying to lease that from True Ballot or from any other company that is willing to lease the software. That would make sure that each station would have a scanner and carry out elections with the scanner in a very simple way because the machine is there, it's transparent, people can actually go through the software and understand, for those who are technically astute, how it works. So that's the part about the mailing house and the ballot counting. Local election supervisors. I have been interviewing people in different areas, but I really would like anybody who has not only a suggestion for a local election supervisor, but may have a suggestion for somebody in their area that I could talk to because what I'm looking for is somebody who understands the local station. Even if they haven't worked with it, they're very, very familiar with the programs and some of the conflicts that might exist at the local station. I'm looking for someone like that who's committed to fairness and who really is interested in making sure that the staff gets actively involved in putting out the message about the candidates as well as helping the local election committee deal with outreach, which, you know, has been pretty good in general, but we do have to worry about it, particularly this time, because I think there's I think there's less excitement about this whole process than there was, for good reasons. And what we have to do is to turn that around a little bit. And then finally, the local election committees. I've made the decision that local election supervisors should basically determine what the membership is in their committee. I think that's proper, given that the local election supervisor would have a better sense of who is going to be fair, who's going to be interested in the different tasks that the local election committee should do. But that's going to basically reside in the hands of the local election supervisor, which means there may be different rules at different stations in terms of whether local station board members can participate or not, and things of that sort. So those are just the four quick reports. If anybody has questions, that's fine, and if you want to bring up anything else, that's fine.
I have questions, Mary Bird, here.
I'd like to ask a couple questions, too.
Okay. Mary, Dawn, anyone else? Can you hear me?
Pardon?
Can anyone hear me?
I can hear you.
Oh, good.
I would
okay.
as well.
I didn't know if I had muted or unmuted. Melinda, all right. Mm-hmm. Mary, why don't you start
okay,
off?
Okay, well, my first question is regarding the KP graphics. Let me just give this back to see that I understand it. They will design the ballots and do the mailings and everything except actually scan the ballots. Is that correct for the
new? That's correct.
Okay. And then my question is, what was the cost of the scanners?
It's. I called up Ken and I talked to Caleb Kleppner because he was, I guess, the one who originally arranged for the scanners, and they roughly run $2,500 a piece.
Mm-hmm.
They scan 83 ballots per minute.
Okay.
Those are the ones used last year.
Right. Okay. And then you asked to check the website. There's a couple of things wrong. Would you like? Are you interested in having feedback on what's on
yes,
the KPFA
yeah,
website?
Yeah, because I think other people would be interested in hearing it, too.
Because I see a couple of errors. The one that I noticed right off is that the station board doesn't evaluate the ED. I've looked and looked, and I don't see that anywhere. The PNB does. The KPFA had it on the website. But when I went to check it so I could send some information out to people, I believe that's wrong. I cannot find it.
Cutting and pasting from the bylaws. I did change some things, however. That's important. And I will, if I can't find the exact wording, Mary, that
okay.
will be gone by tomorrow morning.
Okay. Okay. And if you want me just to mail you the rest, I sent something out that had a couple of other things in it, which I can't remember right now, and I don't want to hold a meeting up about it. But I just wanted to make sure if you wanted that kind of feedback.
Absolutely. Any inaccuracies
okay.
have to be removed immediately.
And my last question about the committee, so the local, you said this, but I'm not sure I heard it right. So the local supervisors will decide if LSB members will be allowed to be on the committees or not. Did I hear that right?
Yeah. Reason for that is
okay, I just,
things are so different at each station. I'm not sure, particularly after talking to a number of folks, I'm not sure I can make that ruling as a standard ruling. I feel uncomfortable with local station board members being on the committee, but it depends on what the committee's doing, and it depends how they're operating on it. The key question here is fairness. Are they going to operate to make sure that regardless of their feelings about a candidate, that all candidates are included and the outreach is for all candidates?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I just wanted to make sure that... I had one more question. How many you have, I know, the one at KPFA in place. Do you have any other, local...
No, I do not.
So you need them for all four signals?
All four stations, right.
So they should be in place like yesterday, so... it would be good if you...
Technically, the way it's been done is somewhere in the middle of July is when they're hired.
Yeah, but you know.
But I need to have them in place as
right.
quickly as possible.
So I'm not sure. Do you have any suggestions as to how we could help you?
No. I think, Mary, I think it's for folks at other stations if they have contacts that they think I should go through. I am interviewing people.
Okay.
I have numbers of people at each station, but the more people that I have that I can talk to, the better it is.
Okay, thank you.
All right. Don, you have a question?
Carolyn, can I be on the stack, please?
Ted, is that?
Yes.
Is that Ted? Mm-hmm, fine. Don is next then.
Yeah, well, this was a very good report, Les. One question I have, as I recall, the last election, the company we retained sent a team to each signal area to consult with and supervise the election. But as I understand it, what you're saying now is that we buy the necessary programs and the equipment, and the election supervisor in each signal area trains a team to actually conduct the election without outside, quote, experts, unquote, coming into the signal area.
That's correct. And part of the reason for that, I'm assuming that it was similar in other areas, is actually they weren't extras. These were temp workers that basically were feeding ballots in. There was always one person there who understood STV. I think I thought Kenny traveled around, but I'm not sure. And,
yeah, I did.
And
yeah.
Basically, he was there for decision making, and then there were temp workers who were feeding these ballots in.
Uh-huh.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's good. That mm-hmm. I'm not at all challenging that formula. I think it's probably a step forward, you know. But just we do have a team here in the KPFK signal area that's really focused on elections. So you're probably familiar with these people.
Oh, absolutely. They've been doing great work, and we've been working with them. Steve Willett and I have both, are both talking, if we're talking particularly about Art and Jack.
Yes, you're talking about the same people, yeah.
Yeah, that they're involved with this. They found a bug that's been corrected. We sent them new data, and they ran it through, said it worked perfectly. They actually ran the program and also took the data they used where they found the bug, did it by hand, and the results were exact to the decimal point.
Excellent, excellent, excellent. You know, most of my questions were covered by Mary. I mean, most of us are concerned about the whole issue of quorum, and you've actually touched on that, the fact that this isn't quite as exciting as the earlier elections, and that quorum is a problem. So we're going to have to generate a lot of interest, so it will be key to have all the GMs and PDs on board completely. But I think my other questions are just minutiae, so I'm going to relinquish the floor.
Please email me. It's ballot@pacifica.org. I read that I read it actually several times a day most of the time.
Okay.
ballot@pacifica.org, and I'll
right.
get back to you.
Excellent.
Madam Chair, could I make a request that when we ask questions that we copy it to the list so that this would be informative, so that some of us haven't thought of something. We wouldn't be duplicating somebody
cool
else's
idea.
Questions. So,
mm-hmm. Good
okay.
idea. Yeah.
Could we... You know, when we send questions to Les, could we please copy them to the list?
Mm-hmm.
Is that okay with everyone?
I'd be happy to do that myself.
That's fine.
Okay.
Thank you. And Linda, I think you were next, but before that, did someone come on the call while Les was talking? I heard someone come on and announce themselves, but I didn't catch a name. No?
Well, right. This is Deb. I've been on and off several
You've
times.
Been
I was
oh.
driving through the mountains, and every time, a few minutes, it would cut off.
Oh, dear. All right. Well, you're back. Okay, Melinda, I think you're next.
Yes.
By the way, Melinda, before you start.
Yes.
The group at KPFP has come up with a wonderful database of the unpaid staff, volunteers, and paid staff. I couldn't believe it. Like something like 54 columns of information.
Wow.
Hey, Robin Kicks.
Yeah.
Oh, gee. Maybe you could share that some way. I don't know.
In fact, she's already drafted me for tomorrow. I'm Robin's slave tomorrow.
Okay.
Robin,
we are not. Yeah,
yep.
We are not sharing our Robin. I'm sorry.
No, Robin. No, my Robin. Robin Lewis. She already said. I told him I was going to be on the LSB show tomorrow, and they canceled it because of Juneteenth. So I said, look, since we're going to have Greg tomorrow, at, we're having Greg Palast. I said, I know you're going to have 10 billion last minute things that need to get done. So I will turn myself over to KPFT. Anything you guys want, I will do it. And she goes, I got dibs on you. So I said, okay, cool.
Well, that database sounds wonderful.
She's amazing.
Can that be,
be shared with the other station?
Yes.
Except we keep Robin.
Under all circumstances.
She is a jewel, let me tell you.
Yeah,
I wanted to ask you something in reference, because I just kind of fill people in. I'd been talking with Les because I'm real anxious to get involved. I have been reelected as elections chair at KPFT in a meeting recently, and I've been talking about doing outreach with our outreach committee chair, and because needless to say, that's something that's very important to address. Trying to come up with a good pool, not to mention try to garner excitement about the elections as well.
Mm-hmm.
And in talking with you, we were talking about the possibility of some kind of a brochure that we would have, and I was wondering if you had come up with anything on that.
No, I haven't. Part of it does have to do. I've been spending my time on the four things that I mentioned,
mm-hmm.
Or at least the three things about local election supervisors, the mailing house, the web pages, et cetera. It's on top of my list. I mean, I have been calling different people at stations and talking
mm-hmm.
about this. I just want to make a quick comment about this election. This is in some ways much more important than the past elections.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to try to convince everybody I talk to about that. The reason for it is Greg Gluma is actually talking about making changes. So there's an agenda on the table. If people have read that speech of his, there's an agenda on the table, and we need the skills to carry out those parts of it that folks agree with. So I think this is a very, very important election. I hope that folks actually
mm-hmm.
study what's happening here
oh,
and
yeah.
try to you know, really pump this up.
I hate to interrupt, but I'm coming into a high noise area. How do you mute?
Good point. No mute button on your phone.
Pound one.
I tried pound one, and you were hearing me.
Uh-huh. Well, that's the only mute. If your phone doesn't have a mute button and that doesn't work, I don't know what to tell you. That's all I know.
Nobody knows.
Mm-hmm. I also had a question in reference to something I happened to find in going through my files. I found a report which had been done by Bobby Muldoon, who was our supervisor last time,
uh-huh.
and part of it was a really cool brochure which had been approved of by Kenny Mostrin.
Uh-huh.
Would it be okay in the interim before we could get something out? Because I'm real anxious to get out there and try to do as much.
Oh, absolutely, and I've read through that. No, there's nothing wrong with that at all.
Okay, cool.
Nothing.
Because needless to say, I think outreach has got to be our number one thing right now.
Oh, uh-huh. absolutely.
Mm-hmm. So I'm anxious to do that. And incidentally, you mentioned something about membership. One thing that we have done at KPFT, and I also want to make sure this is kosher with you, we make it a rule, and we have from the very beginning, that as far as being an active voting member of the Elections Committee, that we do not allow people who are currently running.
Right.
Oh, absolutely. No, that's a different question.
Uh-huh.
People who are running, listeners, staff, whatever,
mm-hmm.
whether they're on the LSB or not, are automatically not on the election committee.
That's what we're doing. That's the way we've done it.
Yeah,
we have members that are members of the community. The way our committee's made up right now, it's rather small, but we're made up of LSB members. We have the LSB chair, and we also have a couple of different listeners, but none of whom are current candidates.
Uh-huh.
So people who are on the LSB and not, if their terms are not expiring and they're not running, they can serve?
That was a clarification I wanted to make too, Les. If someone is eligible to run but hasn't declared yet because it's not July 25th.
That's why I'm saying that's
people that can't, that are not running at
if
all.
If the local election supervisor learns what's happening in that area, they're going to be the ones. The way this works is it's the local election supervisor that really runs the committee, the local election committee. And the reason I want to leave it up to them, I mean, obviously we're going to do it collaboratively as much as possible, but the conditions differ at the different stations. And if folks really are not involved, for example, in factional fights and work on the committee in a collective way, it doesn't seem to me that we should keep them off. Because they're on the LSB. Mm-hmm. It's a different thing if they're candidates. That would be unfair to have some people who, for whatever reason, are capable of coming to the meetings and other candidates who, again, for legitimate reasons, can't come. It doesn't make any sense. You can't have a fair process that way. So from the very beginning, I mean, we've done that even when we had local elections here. From the very beginning, people who are running should not be involved with the committee at all.
Cool. A clarification? I mean, it's clear. I think this is a good policy because it does allow for a local evaluation in a signal area where an LSB is highly polarized and politicized. Then what you're saying is the local election supervisor could say, well, it would be a healthier environment here if no LSB members serve on the committee.
Yes.
I have a point of information.
Yes, ma'am.
I wanted to get it. Melinda, did I understand you to say LSB members who are not running, and who are not up for running, they don't have to be running. You know, their terms haven't expired, and they don't need to run this year.
Mm-hmm.
Do they serve on the committee?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah.
And I'm not going to run this year.
Uh-huh.
I'm declaring myself not to be running.
You're up for running, but you're...
Deb, again.
Yeah, I'm not going to run. I've already declared I'm not going to run.
Mm-hmm. Oh, God, that's really sad.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to give myself some time.
Well,
okay.
I'm going to be a committee member.
Whoa. All right, I think I was up next. I had a couple of questions. One was working backwards. I just wanted to comment, Les. I have a feeling that that might be very confusing to have each local supervisor make an individual decision. And I was hoping that when all five are hired, together, the six of you could make a decision that would hold for every station, simply to avoid the inevitable complications that are going to arise from that. That's just my thought. It's not a question, really. I did have another question. Who are the webmasters for the KPFA site and for the other five sites? Do you have them all, and the local stations, I mean, but do you have one person you're working with on elections issues only?
No, I'm just working with the webmasters. I have all of their names. If there's a need, I could send them to everybody. It's not like they're quiet or anything. They're all on the web pages of each website.
Right. No, I was just hoping there was somebody that was attached to the elections that you could count on in a pinch. So you have to notify five people to make the same change on five websites, essentially.
Yeah, but it's not a problem. I've been trying to get a good relationship with them so that, it's coordinated. I'm not having anybody say they don't want to coordinate it. It would be nice to have enthusiasm about this.
Mm-hmm.
And the skill level differs at different stations because we have a lot of good people working on the web. But there are newer people. And the skills do differ. It turns out at KPFA there's a person who is really quite good, very, very up to date. It's a good web page. Teaching people about, what podcasting is, teaching the staff about this, teaching newer people about it, and educating people actually on the web page itself.
Mm-hmm.
And I plan on doing the same thing with the election process. is that it should be a tool so that people can go there and feel comfortable with this whole process.
Right. All right, good. I had two more questions. One was, you said you hope to actually hire the local supervisors sometime in July.
No, no, I hope to hire them this month.
This month, okay.
Absolutely.
Oh,
I want it in place by the end of the month.
That was my point. All right, good. And then the next question was really a clarification. John mentioned the fact that someone had gone around to each station. Actually, three members from True Ballot flew to each station last time, and I think that was a huge expense. And are you saying this time nobody from a team would be there, only the local supervisor training volunteers would be counting the ballots?
I don't quite know that. I mean, I might be there. That's a possibility.
Mm-hmm.
We'd have to see. You know, we would basically, you know, fortunately have a little bit of time on that, but that piece has to be worked out. I mean, we need to, the last thing I want is that every single year we go through the same process. There's a lot of things that we should put in place that are reasonable, that people agree on, and not have to go through this bailiwick of let's make a decision about this stuff. These decisions about whether it's gift memberships or staff or anything, I would like those more or less to be in concrete so that that stuff doesn't have to be worried about. What should be worried about is working with the staff, getting the programs out there, getting the candidates, and having the outreach. Those are more tasks. These other things, we shouldn't have to go over that every single year. And that includes the thing that you're bringing up. So we should work out something which is not a burden on the stations and is workable. The local election supervisor and myself is sufficient.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that.
Stasny on the stack, please.
Art Stasny, yes. Excuse me, somebody has either water running or something going on in the background that is rather steady.
I have a lot of stuff going on in the background, and I don't know how to mute.
Oh, really? Oh, dear. All right.
Art, when did you come on?
Yes.
You've been on for a while?
on, off.
All right, I wanted to ask another question you did mention. I know you sent out a memo, the gift membership issue, and then there's also on our agenda is a question of the status of donors to Pacifica Foundation. And could you update us on that? We were going to ask for information on the data, some of what we are going to do you may already have done. So could you bring us up to date on where the gift membership issue is?
I regarded that as a clarification to make sure that everybody understood. I've talked to each general manager to make sure that at least they understood the memo.
Mm-hmm.
And Uma has also been involved with that.
Mm-hmm.
The problem generally is we do have to worry about registration of voters because we don't have registration. We have to worry about the quota.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's two possibilities. One is like at KPFA, there are so few gift memberships, it's a non-issue. The problem comes in if there's a lot of those. Because if it's a gift membership, it basically means large numbers of names are being added to the list by somebody. And most people don't join the radio station as a member to vote. That's not their main consideration. They're supporting it. And for most people, because we have no registration process, we know they're not going to vote. And if it's a gift membership, it's even one more step removed that, you know, there's no indication at all. And so I've tried to convince people, you know, in terms of the folks that I've talked to, that they have to be put in, you know, as a gift. And if they're put in as a gift, that solves the problem, because in the database we simply run off all those people who are listed as gifts, and then we check each person to make sure that they haven't given money in their own name. A lot of people are given gift subscriptions, and then later on, because they're sent a notice, later on they actually contribute on their own. So if they contribute on their own, obviously they can vote. But if somebody else is contributing for them, I the bylaws say that somebody has to contribute. They don't say either they're contributed by somebody else, et cetera. It's a very direct action verb, which basically means I read that, and the people I've talked to have read it, as the person has to contribute, and if they don't directly contribute, they're simply not members. The question comes in, is everybody going to be honest about that? And I can't, in a sense, control that. I mean, we can't, you know, I'm assuming that people are not just making up names and typing things into the MemSys database. There has to be some control over that. But if they do that, if they take a person who's been given a gift and adding them as an active member, that is illegal. It's illegal.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what are we going to do about it?
Will you be able to, going forward, do something with either MemSys or the instructions and a check on the process to make sure that your directions
are being
followed?
The way the process is going to be checked does have to do a little bit with, you know, how the Fair Campaign is checked. We need to make sure that people will, let us know that something like that's happening, that a list of names came in and that list is being put on as active donors. If somebody does that with MemSys, again, I'll repeat, MemSys doesn't have a history. That is, you can't tell when something was entered or when something was modified. So, if people make up dates and put it in, it's very, very difficult if no one else is there and sees that. It's very difficult to make sure that that process holds. However, if we do have a list of names and we go in and see that that list of names that people sent a check in for, that list of names is in there, really, that person should be fired because it is illegal. I mean, it's not. MemSys has a gift box in it simply for that reason. It's put in there if people send in the names for other people. That's why it's there. And we use that. Every station uses that.
Mm-hmm. Are there plans to change MemSys or change the system entirely so that, in fact, it is auditable in the future? Or do you want to live with this for another round of elections?
I think for some of us that's a priority, but it's way down on the priority of the different things that are occurring right now. So that's not going to happen. It's certainly not going to happen by this next election.
Right. That I understood. All right. I think that was all my questions. I think Ted was next. Ted?
Thank you. Les, I just was checking the bylaws. There are some huge voids in there. I could just say, can you tell me what the organization chart is like for this process? I think in our last election here in Houston, I felt we had some real failures in terms of the means by which everything was being communicated transparently. Maybe I should make a suggestion to you, and it has to do with the reporting methodology for the local elections committee. Do you want to hear what I have to say, or do you have an idea
absolutely.
Where I'm going? And
absolutely.
Have you thought this through already?
Go ahead.
When we have a local elections committee, there is no mandate that they report to anybody. There's an absence of transparency in terms of what is going on to the local station board. I don't know that there's a connect between the local committee and the committee that's meeting right now or to the national board. As a consequence of, I don't know what happens if people have issues with protocol. I think that perhaps you could come up with a draft of the way the organization chart is set up and get the national board to approve it. It doesn't strike me as it has to be in the bylaws.
Mm-hmm. Nor does it have to be approved by the national board. The reason for that is I helped write these bylaws. I suspect many of the people on this teleconference helped. The way it works is that the whole election process is removed from oversight, either by the executive director and particularly by the national board and the local board. So you have a national election supervisor who basically in conjunction with the local election supervisor, determines policy and are not really legally beholden to anybody. In other words, we make our own decision. So there's two separate things that I hear Ted bringing up. One has to do with the organizational chart, and I think that should be I think that should be spelled out front so people understand what it looks like. Whether they agree with it or not, they should know what it is. And the second thing has to do with the transparency of the local committees, and I think you're right. I think that, you know, too much it's been by the fly of the pants, that there's not been consistency in terms of reporting. It's gone out. Generally, these memos go out to at least certain people, but it seems to me minimally that there could be a section on the website, just like there is for the local station board, with any decision made that people can click on it. Here's the problem, and here's the decision, and at least brief minutes of what the committees have decided so that people can look on there on each web page and see what the local election committee is doing in terms of outreach, how people can get involved. It's part of a recruitment as well as transparency, so I agree with that. Pardon me. And I'm making a note to myself to put out a memo on that, on both things, on organizationally how this works, but as well the transparency. Very, very important.
Okay. Can I get it back on the stack, please?
Yes, certainly. And is this Melinda?
Yes, because I'd like
and
to comment
Ted,
as...
Are you finished, Ted? Ted, were you finished?
I am.
Okay. I'd like to direct... I just wanted to
I'm sorry, Art is next.
Oh, I apologize. I apologize.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
sorry about that.
Hello?
Yes,
this is Art.
Mm-hmm.
I'll make it very short.
Hi, Art.
Hi, Les.
Hi, Art.
Having seen 3 years ago when we did our own, it wasn't scanning, it was keyboard entry and scrounged up rented computers and so on, I would urge consideration be given not only to getting the scanners, and I congratulate you on the discount you've wangled, but also an inexpensive computer and an all of $60 printer so that there is a qualified package end-to-end of hardware with pre-installed software and then a 9-foot Mosler safe to keep it in between elections at each station. If you don't do that, it is going to be a madhouse, guaranteed. I'll take this up more by email and phone and so on offline. I just wanted to throw that thought in because my hair bristled at the memory 3 years ago. I'm done.
All right. Good point.
You just reminded me, folks don't know this, when things are sent to the national board, they are deposited in a warehouse, and it would take me a week to get anything, including any CDs from past elections. So they're just brought to the national office and packed away. And just so you all know, you may want to guess the number of people who've asked to see ballots or CDs or anything in the last two elections. Do you know what the number is?
None.
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 I'm the first person who's asked. And they said, what? And then they had to scramble. They come in and they're sent to a warehouse.
Oh, that's a relief.
It's not even in the area.
You don't want to know the hours that we spent on that question in this committee. All right.
Carolyn, Stephanie, comment quickly. There were, at the end of the 2004 election, a number of requests for CDs of ballots and so on, and they were gloriously foozled by the KPFK staff. But the requests were made. Some of them were finished. Harris and I, believe, got some CDs. But those requests were made essentially and not handled well. So there were requests, and there is interest in that information.
Okay, let me make a note. These are CDs. every station has a place for CDs. There is no problem putting in a little box that can contain 10 CDs. That would be 10 elections at least, you know, and at least have that. And if people call for it, you just make a copy or... you know, something like that, or even mm-hmm. storing 10 CDs at each station. I mean, we're talking 50 cents a piece. Good Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Thank they
you.
Didn't even keep any at the national office. Dan Coughlin just shipped them off.
Amazing. All right, Melinda, you were next. Melinda?
Yes, I just wanted to offer one just bit of rebuttal to a person regarding the statement made about KPFT. Ted was not a member of the board, was not a member of the committee the last election. It should be noted, right up until November of that year, we presented an election report every single KPFT meeting, and it's on the archives. And on the website, if you go into where they have the minutes, we have every single meeting. All the minutes are posted, and all of the agendas as well.
Excellent.
And I sent emails to every single member of the KPFT board. Every time we were going to have a meeting, I invited everybody. I don't know how I could be more transparent.
All right.
Don White on the list.
How do you think that sounds? And by all means, I welcome any critique or any kind of way we could do better, because we're on the website. So by all means, let's do me a favor. Take a look at our minutes. See what you think.
Now, this a point of information here, Melinda. This is the LSB Elections Committee, which in fact does report to the LSB, right? I mean, you report to your.
We were giving elections minutes, except for our chair, Mike Martin, okay, toward the end of his tenure, chose for us. He felt that it was taking up too much time, mm-hmm, and had them presented in writing. But
now,
to be honest,
Melinda, could I ask you, was the LSB election committee the same as the local election committee?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And we worked directly. What happened is, I reported directly to Kenny Mostrin,
mm-hmm,
up until the point where Bobby Muldoon was appointed. And as soon as Bobby Muldoon, until Kenny Mostrin was hired, I pretty much, was just getting the guys together, getting them organized.
Mm-hmm.
And then what happened is, once they hired Kenny Mostrin, then I reported directly to him.
Uh-huh.
And then as soon as he hired Bobby Muldoon, I went directly to Bobby Muldoon, who then reported to Kenny Mostrin.
Uh-huh.
And we worked pretty much like a team. But, of course, needless to say, he had the final say on everything.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I do want to clarify a question, some of that information, and ask Les a question. When there are two committees, an elections committee, and then, an LSB elections committee, and then the supervisors elections committee, and they can be either different or the same, depending on what the elections committee will want. Is that your plan generally?
I feel uncomfortable with that, because basically that the local election committee is independent of the local station board. That was how it was seen. Now, they actually, because here we actually had a local election, a committee dealing with local elections, but it was seen as dealing with something different than the local election committee for the elections itself. In other words, the local election committee dealing with the elections was responsible for outreach, for working with the staff, for making sure that the programs were put on the air fairly, that all candidates had the same access to the station, et cetera. The local election committee of the LSB was seen as working out technicalities, what went wrong, evaluating the election process, how to make it better. But broader issues, that was how it was seen. My understanding is that's not how it has worked necessarily in the last couple of elections. I'll have to think about that and look at that.
Small stations like KPFT? We don't really have. We're doing good to have one committee.
I understand.
Because we don't have that big a station.
I understand that, and that's why I think the local election committee, the local election supervisor, is in a better position to make that decision than I am.
Mm-hmm. But there will be two committees in some stations, and I think that will need some fancy footwork.
Yes.
On your part.
Can
yes,
I be
yes, Mary. Don is next. Mary, anyone else want to get on that?
I've got something I'd like to say.
Okay, Don, Mary, and Harrison. Don, do you want to go ahead, please?
Yeah, okay. I may be the only one who's a little confused about this, but just for clarity, Les, you have correctly pointed out that gift subscriptions is minuscule compared to the thousands of listener sponsors who donate independently of a signal area. My question is, how is that being resolved? Are they listed? How are they listed as voters if they are? Do they count toward quorum? And how are we moving ahead on that issue?
Very, very good question. Very bad answer on my part. So good question, bad answer. Here's what I have to say. This was not an issue when the bylaws were written. This is relatively new. We're talking the last year and a half. And that's because the Pacifica National Foundation decided that they are going to make appeals for money outside of the station areas.
Right.
When the bylaws were written, almost everybody belonged to a station. There were a few donors who basically didn't care whether they gave it to Pacific or to a particular station, but we're talking, like with gift subscriptions, handfuls of people. This is different because at this point, they actually have, when we went through the list, they have thousands of people who are contributing now who are not contributing to individual stations.
Right.
Because that's new, this just came up in the last election where people called up and said they wanted to vote, and were told they gave to Pacifica, not to an individual station. The bylaws don't mention that at all. My tendency on this is, first of all, they are not part of the quota because they are not a member of an individual station. It seems to me reasonable, given that this is something new that we have to make a decision on, and maybe this is something that the Pacific National Board, God help them, should vote on. They have time to do that at the next meeting. That if somebody calls in and says they've been following these elections and they want to vote, it seems to me reasonable that they be allowed to do that. You know, at that point, let's say they're in South Dakota. If they've been following what's been going on at KPFT and are familiar with the programs and some familiar with the folks because they follow it on the internet or with podcasting, I don't know if KPFT does podcasting or not. But in any case, it seems to me they should be allowed to vote. That would be my tendency. I need to check that out with a lawyer.
Just a follow-up, Les. My understanding is this could be as high as 10,000. And my
not
question
in terms of people who are calling in. It could
No. People who would qualify if they were following the election.
Yes.
My question is, are they 10,000 people counted against quorum?
No. They don't belong to an individual station.
Okay.
But I was surprised at the number. That's why I sent it out. When I checked the number at the national office, I said, is this a big problem or a small problem? And they did, you know, because they have the entire database there from last year, and they just did a search on it, and it was 10,000 people not who are contributing who are not belonging to any individual station.
Right.
That's in a year and a half. I mean, you know, I don't know how many of those would be eligible to vote if they wanted to. So, but people were irate. I mean, some of these people contributed a fair amount of money, and they were irate because they said they wanted to vote in the election.
Right.
Okay, just to clarify, they will get a ballot if they call in this time, and they want to.
I haven't come out with a memo on that. It seems reasonable. We should talk about that a little bit to see what the pluses and minuses. Let me tell you what the biggest criticism I heard was. The biggest criticism I heard of my tentative policy was that people could then organize nationwide, one faction or another, to do this. But I don't see that as a problem, because if people were organizing nationwide to support one faction or another, they'd organize to have them send money to the station. Now, if I'm in Wisconsin and I send money to KPFA, I'm a member of KPFA.
Right.
So it doesn't seem to me that's the problem. It's more that there are numbers of people out there who really care about this media, as there's more affiliates in places like WORT. As you get more affiliates and more programs on these stations, people are aware of Pacifica, and they start getting concerned. They not only support Pacifica, but many people do listen to stations. You know, we can all give our anecdotes. I was at the Flaming Gorge in Wyoming last summer, and I'm in this little bookstore, and there's a guy there explaining to a person who Greg Palast is and some of this other stuff, and I ask him where he got this from, and he says he listens to Sunday Salon at KPFA, and he listens to Flashpoints at KPFA, he listens to the news, listens to Hard Knock Radio. And this guy lived in Wyoming all his life. This, you know, this is just a random thing that happens. A person like that who's sending money to Pacifica probably should be allowed to vote. And I would argue that this is going to happen more and more with podcasting, because people will download their programs and their river rafting or whatever they're doing, listening to this podcast.
Exactly.
Are they sure that some of these are not from these archives? Things, because, like, I know the archives go on and they sell archive collections for donations.
Oh, absolutely, but I'm trying to, and much of it is, you're right, but I'm saying those people who are talking about the elections are clearly listening to something on the station.
Yeah,
they're
okay.
Hearing the candidates, and these are people volunteering to vote. It
okay.
Seems to me in that volunteering they can pick the station that they listen to that they know something about, and they should be a member. I haven't made a ruling on this, but I'm saying it sounds reasonable to me, because the bylaws don't talk about podcasting, they don't talk about internet listening, and they don't talk about many of the things that are going to come up, digital bands, et cetera. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that's going to be coming up technologically, and the bylaws are not reflecting that.
I just was curious because my husband and I both gave money to the archive last year, and I didn't know whether we were included in the $10,000.
Oh, you would be, yes, probably.
Okay.
This is Serena. Can I get on the stack, please?
Who, please?
This is Serena. I'd like to get on the stack.
Serena, you're on the call?
Is that Serene? Serene?
Oh. Yeah, hi, Mary.
Uh-huh. How long have you been here? I didn't know.
A while. I didn't hear. I don't know if you guys heard the beep.
No,
someone was speaking when
name.
I came in.
No, half the time we don't hear the names. I don't know why.
Well, someone was speaking when I came in, so I didn't bother
like
to repeat it.
Back to this is Ted.
All right, Ted. I just wanted to clarify something Les said before we went on to the next person. The $10,000, has that been checked against people who might later become members somewhere? I mean, you've cross-checked, and they're...
They did a quick cross
check.
Not a definitive one, but a quick cross check, and they said there were, that there are, up to 10,000. It's close to that figure who are not a member of individual stations.
Okay.
I was surprised at the large number.
Yes, it certainly is. All right.
Because that's more than 10% of the total membership.
Right. It's a huge number. All right, Mary, I believe you were next.
Yeah. Well, I had two things. One on that issue, and then just a small thing about the committees. At KPFA, we've only had one committee, except after the fact we had, actually, I don't know that we had an election review committee, but we have not had an LSB election committee and a local. We had a local committee before there was an LSB 2 years before, and each year that committee went forward. So as of now, that committee is not part of the LSB.
That's correct.
And the LSB never formed any election committee here. So I just wanted to clarify that. We don't have to. There's no plan to have the LSB have any that I have heard about.
Mm-hmm.
This business of unaffiliated members, anyone that is listening online would only be just like your Wisconsin person, he gets the contact information. If he wants to subscribe, he gets the website. That's what he hears on the air, on the computer. So he's not unaffiliated. He's a member of KPFA because he subscribes to KPFA on the website, online. So I am wondering, and the archives should certainly not be part of this for purchasing goods. You don't, that's not... There's, that's not the same thing. And they log, they know who, in our accounting system, it's clear who's on, who contributes to the archives. And it would be relatively easy, I would think, to just see, are these people subscribed otherwise? In which case, that's simply a donation, and they're subscribed to wherever they're subscribed to. So I'm very puzzled about these 10,000 people. The only way I can think of that there could be such a situation is when the national office, when Pacifica National gives out a national number.
Mailing, right.
And the mailings. They've stepped up their mailings to that point. And, of course, mailings are mostly going to subscribers. So even there, most of those people ought to
Not true. See what... Okay.
Now, my question then is, they're obviously stepping up a hell of a lot of mailings to lists that they get off Global Exchange, or I don't really buy them from somebody or trade them or whatever. They're not subscribers. That's the only way that could happen. So is there a way to find out how much solicitation is going on to non-subscribers?
There's a lot. For example, the Pacifica National Foundation has purchased the mailing list from New Republic, from The Nation magazine.
Okay, sure.
And these and sending out mailers to their entire list. So we are talking a very, very large number of people are being sent these. In terms of exactly how many people, rather than continuing talking about this, I will get more exact figures. I was just doing. I apologize, but I was just trying to do a quick check on this to see what kind of a problem. So we just sat down for a few minutes, popped up the list of names, filtered it through the database, and it turns out that there were about 10,000 names that were not on the database for the listener memberships at each station.
Mm-hmm.
And I think both of us were surprised, Bill Ostigate and myself were both surprised at the large number of names. We didn't do any extensive checking on this. This was just a one-time sit-down and a very quick filter, and we came up with approximately that figure. I don't even exactly know the figure, but it was roughly that, like 9,000 to 11,000, somewhere in that category.
Because this is something I think we really ought to know, not only for this purpose that you're talking about, but if we are buying or trading lists with other entities like The Nation and so forth, then I think we really need to find out how common is it for our subscriber lists to be given off to these quote-unquote partners. Well,
Mary,
I'll
make it really clear. These are being purchased. There's no trading of lists.
Okay, and no one is purchasing our lists?
As far as I know, no one's purchasing our list.
Because that's a different issue. Yeah.
Yes, it is. Okay.
People are very upset about that. Yeah. Okay.
Is that it, Mary? Harrison, I think you were next. Excuse my voice.
Oh, thank you. I want to change the subject just a little bit. Well, actually, maybe quite a bit. I wonder if it wouldn't be helpful in terms of reaching a quorum if we were to make a distinction between subscribers and members and to give people an opportunity to say they weren't interested in our elections, did not wish to be members, and would like to subscribe without the need to receive mail and run up our costs and mess up our quorum.
Actually, I've thought about that, particularly going through this election, and I think for this election, we're going to do it exactly like we have the last two. But I agree with you, and I think what should be done is add a box, and that box should say, I want to register to vote when people subscribe, something like that. But that should be talked about. That's a national board decision. That's not my decision. This election is going to be carried out like the last two. I think it should for future elections. I would certainly feel that would be a better way to do this. We don't have registration. I think registration should be as simple as do you want to vote in the election, and if people say no, they're not part of the quota. But that's not for us to decide. That's not how the bylaws read, and the national board would have to take care of that.
That might be.
Does that answer your question?
The only thing is, I'm very happy with your response. I understand that this couldn't be undertaken at this time for this election. The only thing is that this committee is always making recommendations for board action.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Point of information, Les, if you've explored this even a minute, doesn't that violate the two classes of membership rule that we are not allowed to have two classes of membership?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Well, somewhere in the California code, I remember being told that As a membership organization, all members had to have equal rights.
Right.
And we could not have two classes of memberships.
I now remember
sure what that.
That's
means.
Right. We did go over that. I
that's
do remember
true.
That vaguely.
Yeah, that's very.
I think
I'm
you're
very
right.
Clear.
I think
I'm
you're
not
right.
sure what that means or whether.
Yeah, I'm not sure either.
I think
well,
that's
I'm
problem.
Pretty sure we couldn't do that without a change to the
well,
bylaws.
Well, we could
no,
look
no,
into
no,
it,
no,
Harrison.
No, because the question is two classes of memberships. If a person declines membership, then we're okay, aren't we?
Well, but that's a good question. We'll have to look at that.
Well
I
yeah.
see another work group in the formation.
I see another work
yeah.
group in the formation.
I do, too.
All right. Good question, Harrison. Certainly worth considering for the next time.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
I'll start really considering it in December.
Right.
There you go.
Okay, good. Serene, I think you were next.
Hi, thanks. I have a couple of questions. One, with regard to the local election supervisors, have the ads been placed on CivicaSA.org, or where are they exactly? What stage
are
you
at? What? Have, hear you.
The local hiring.
Serena, are you on speakerphone? It's a little bit hard to hear you.
The hiring of the local election supervisors, have ads been placed on CivicaSA.org, or exactly where are those positions being advertised?
Basically, I'm trying to call up people at the different stations, and I'll repeat what I said at the beginning. I really need folks to give me contacts. I'm interviewing people in each local area who are somewhat familiar or a lot familiar with the station. You're right. I probably should have put this up on the website, but what I have been doing is simply contacting people and asking for suggestions. Suggestions not only for people who might be local election supervisor, but folks in the community who might know people who are interested in this.